Thank you, choir, for our beautiful special music. And let me also say welcome to anyone that's visiting with us this morning. We just, you know, I haven't been here long enough to know who's the visitors and who's the members, but we're glad that each one of you in the Lord's house today. If you're going to want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, we'll look at that in a few moments. Now, I imagine some of you, especially the older men here, or probably like I was when I was a kid, loved to watch the TV, and if the rare chance we got to go to the movies, we loved the old westerns. Lone Ranger and Hopalong Cassidy and Gunsmoke and Wagon Train and Bonanza and all of those other programs. Really, really enjoyed those. Now, in a lot of those programs, sooner or later, they would have a fort. You know, a fort stuck out in the middle of nowhere with the poles and cavalry living in the fort, keeping law and order in the region. And at some point, the cavalry's gone, and there's a few remaining soldiers and all the civilians that are inside of the fort. And suddenly there's an attack of the Indians. Now, I don't know whether that's politically correct to say that anymore, but that's the way it was in the old movies. And Mama tells me I'm part Indian, so I you know, anyway. But anyway, they're shooting their flaming arrows. They're climbing the walls. They've got the tomahawk in one hand and the knife in their mouth, and they're ready. And it looks like all hope is lost. One person turns to the other and says, "How many bullets you got left?" "Well, I got three." "You got four?" "Well, let's make all seven of them count." And just about the time that all hope is lost, you hear the bugle. And the cavalry comes charging over the hill with their guns blazing. And the Indians, in panic, flee, and they're rescued. The people inside of the fort are rescued, and they're safe, and everything's okay. It's my sad opinion that that's the picture that many American Christians have of what's going on in our nation today. We're gathered in our churches as little forts, and all around us we're being attacked. Gay rights, radical Muslims, New Age, Satan worshipers, Wiccans, people that just don't care, atheist. And we have begun to develop a mentality, oh, we just got to hold on till Jesus comes. If we can just hold on till Jesus comes. It's got to be soon, because there's not many of us left and we're about out of bullets. And we're waiting for the trumpet to blow and Jesus to come and rapture the church and get us out of here while there's any of us left. We've developed sort of that fort mentality of hunkering down, trying to stay alive, trying to hold it together until Jesus comes. But folks, that fort mentality is not biblical Christianity. You know, the writer of Onward Christian Soldiers got it right. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we're treading where the saints of God have trod. Do you remember when Jesus and the disciples were under the discussion, who do you say that I am and who do people say that I am? And Peter finally says, you're the Christ. And Jesus says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against that revelation. When, you know, in my little boy mind, when I was a kid, I pictured Satan as some big old Samson with the gates and beating on the church. And then I found out that isn't what that scripture means. That scripture means the church is supposed to be kicking down the doors of hell, rescuing people from Satan's clutches. Like a mighty army. Like a mighty army. Reaching out to snatch people out of Satan's hand and bring them into the kingdom of God. God never intended for us to develop a fort mentality and just hunker down hoping that Jesus comes before the last one of us dies off. What if we saw ourselves as the army? What if we saw ourselves as the cavalry, doing the rescuing, doing the deliverance, setting people free? What if we saw ourselves as New Testament Christians? They went out into a world that was just as hostile, just as unbelieving, just as wicked as our world. And the word came out, you know, those that have turned the world upside down, they're in our neighborhood too. That's the way it should be with us. What does an army do to get ready? Well, they bring in recruits. Or in our case, we win people to Jesus. Look now in Matthew 28, beginning at verse 18, and look at those things that Jesus instructed us to do. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Last words are important. We have a loved one dies, we gather around. What did he say? What did she say right before they died? These are some of the last words of Jesus, and he says, you go and you make disciples. You teach them, and you baptize them, which means they come to know him as Lord and Savior. Folks, everything that we do in our personal life and in our church life ought to be geared to reaching people for Jesus. You say, well, preacher, I'm not that educated. I'm not that smart. I hope that you remember some of the stories that I told the Sunday that we had our 136th anniversary. This morning I read one that was even better, I think. I opened my morning devotional book, and it's written by a guy named Rick Renner. Probably you've never heard of him. He's a great Greek scholar, Bible scholar, written books that have influenced people all over the world. He's been a missionary to the Soviet Union for over 20 years. His sermons are in all spread over all the Soviet Union on TV. Tremendous influence in the Christian world. And he says, it all started with the promise of a bag of candy. Said his mama was an 8-year-old little girl, belonged to a family that didn't go to church. And a neighbor lady who was a Christian said to this little girl, if you'll come to our Christmas program, we'll give you a bag of candy. He said, now that was during World War II when sugar was rationed and candy was precious. Wasn't like you could go down here to the Walmart now and just buy it in the buggy loads. Candy was precious. And this little 8-year-old girl, in order to get the promised bag of candy, went to the Christmas program. And for the very first time, she heard about a Jesus being born to be the Savior of the world. Jesus dying on a cross for her sins. And her needing Jesus as her Lord and her Savior. And that little girl got her bag of candy, but she got something better. That night after she got home from church, she got out on her knees and invited Jesus into her heart to be her Lord and her Savior, her Master. And she grew up to be Rick's mom. And her godly influence as a mom impacted her son. And now his sons and his grandchildren. And millions of people are being touched for the gospel of Jesus Christ, all because one caring neighbor promised a little girl about a bag of candy. Folks, there is no ministry too small, no person too weak, no person too untrained, but what Jesus can use you for His kingdom. He can use you to bring somebody into the army of God. That ought to be the goal of everything we do. Jesus said, you go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. And where we shine the light of the gospel into darkness, the light makes a difference. You know, if we were here at midnight tonight, and there was no moon, no outside street lamps or security lights or anything, and it was pitch black in here, and you light one little candle, and it's going to show up in the darkness. And you can't get enough darkness to put out that little candle. You can't make it any more dark and suddenly do away with that little candle. That little candle is going to shine. And your candle, your life, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And don't put it under a basket. Set it on a candlestick so it can be seen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Not glorify you or the preacher or the church, but glorify your Father in heaven. The first responsibility, the first goal ought to always be bringing people into the kingdom. Notice it also says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, Jesus said, don't stop with recruiting them, teach them, train them. Somebody joins the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, Coast Guard, Marines. They don't walk them in and say, okay, here's your gun. They tell them how to use that gun. They tell them how to fly that plane or whatever material, how to use those hand grenades, whatever. They train them. And our secondary goal ought to be to train one another. These children, young people coming through, need to be trained about Jesus and not just know the Bible stories, but know how to live for Jesus. And then he says, not only just to do it, but to observe it. Now, we usually use the word observe as in I'm seeing something. But to observe in this sense is to do it. In other words, we just keep right on multiplying. We just keep right on reaching the people for the kingdom of God. We just reaching people and growing them and reproducing over and over and over and over again. Bringing people into the family of God and growing them and sending them out. It's so important. You say, well, preacher, we need some resources. The Bible is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the deciding soul and body. The Bible is once presented. It's not my arguments. It's not my persuasiveness. It's not your brilliance. But it's sharing what God said. How did Paul put it? And Paul was a brilliant man. I determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Isn't it amazing how the stories come out over and over and over? Somebody is at the point of suicide. Somebody's at the point of desperation. They pick up a Gideon Bible and start to read, and suddenly their heart is changed. They become a believer in Jesus. Over and over again. I've heard of stories where somebody just finds a couple of sheets of paper and they just think it's scrap paper, and they take it home and begin to read it, and it's the Word of God. You know, in some country where the Bible is not commonly available as it is here, and they begin to read, they've just got a couple of pages. But those pages lead them to Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Bible is a powerful, powerful Word of God. And notice in verse 18, and then in the last phrase of verse 20, Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And then, lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. You see, our resources are the Word of God and the power of God. In all my brilliance, which isn't much, I can't convince a person to be saved. But I can share with them the Word of God, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And those two verses, empowered by the Holy Spirit, can change a person's life for all of eternity. You see, God at work. Can change our world. You know, Barbie's grow. You know, I think about so many churches. I'm thinking about a church in Greensboro that was a humongous church about the time I was in Siler City 50 years ago. They had teams that they sent out to do lay witness all over the region. They were producing preachers so much that the pastor would let them, preach on Wednesday night, and they accused the preacher of goofing off because he let these young preachers preach so much. They were just producing preachers right and left. Great big building. Last I heard, that church was down to 14 people from up in the 500 or 600s. And they were thinking about selling the building, giving it to the association, or doing something. That's sad, but that's happening all over America. If we develop that fort mentality, Jesus, come get us quick, we shrivel up and die. And Barbie's Grove can choose to do that. Or we can choose to be a part of that mighty army that moves as the church of God. And we can start kicking in the gates of hell all around us and bring people into the family of God and train them and grow. You know, every morning at dawn, the devil ought to say, "Oh no, those people at Barbie's Grove are up again." And I know that somewhere or other they're going to kick me in the teeth today. Fort or mighty army? Hunkering down, waiting for Jesus to deliver us before we all die? Or taking it to the devil wherever we go? And winning our world, our community, for Jesus. It's our choice. It's our choice. It's your individual choice, and it's our church choice. What will it be? In a moment, we'll sing a hymn of invitation. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, like that little 8-year-old girl, you need him. You need to admit, yes, I'm a sinner, but thank God Jesus is the Savior. I invite him into my heart and life to forgive me my sins and to be my Lord and Savior. If there's another decision that you want to make, if you just need to come to the altar and pray for some lost person that's a part of your family or a part of your friend group, would you come? If there's some other decision that you need to make, don't put it off. Don't think, well, you know, I'll do it some other time. Don't put it off. Make sure that when you leave this place this morning, that if this is the last day of your life, you're going to step out from here into glory. I think the trumpet is going to blow soon. If it were to blow at this very second, would you be sitting here wondering, where'd everybody else go? Or would you be going with them, saying, "Welcome, Lord Jesus. Welcome, Lord Jesus." Let's don't let the devil cower us into thinking we may not make it till the end. Instead, let's make the devil fear us, because we are a mighty army of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need to make a public decision, either to share with me or to come to the altar, would you come as we stand and sing?